Time now for another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. You know, we get you to work every morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Now every afternoon at 3, we're going to post a little extra for you to get you laughing on your way home or whenever you download this thing. Coming up on the show today, former Saturday Night Live star and comedian Daryl Hammond. Right after this word.
I can't believe it's another snowstorm. This winter's never going to end.
I know. I wish we could afford to go somewhere warm.
Or perhaps someplace hot.
Hey, where'd you come from? You just materialized as if spawned by a vortex of evil. I smell burning sulfur. Now, what's this about someplace hot?
That's right. Not just warm. Not just hot. But scorching. The kind of heat that peels the skin right off your bones. Why lay on the beach when you can recline on the shores of an unending lake of fire?
That sounds great.
Honey, don't listen to him. I think he's talking about hell.
Hades, the River Styx, Satan's Crib, whatever you call it, it's the same vacation hotspot that everyone's talking about.
Really?
And now, thanks to Frigum All Timeshares, you don't have to wait to find out if hell is part of your eternal reward. Just come for a long winter weekend. There's always something to do, whether you like swimming in a river of superheated vomit, being fed your own severed toes by a cackling demon, or bungee jumping using your own large intestines as a bungee cord. We've got it all.
Wait a minute. Did you say timeshare? Does that mean we have to sit through some stupid presentation?
Yeah, but it's only for 2 hours, and you'll have hideous squawking birds pecking at your eyeballs the whole time.
Oh.
Really, with our winter climate and many celebrity residents, the place practically sells itself. Then afterwards, you can enjoy an all-you-can-eat trough of regurgitated bile and gristle.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Honey, did you not hear him just say regurgitated bile?
All I heard was all you can eat. So you're saying it never freezes there?
Not unless the Cubs win the World Series.
Oh, sweet. What do you think, hon?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're considering this.
If you're not happy with your hellish getaway, feel free to sue us. We've got like a gajillion lawyers, and they're bored.
I'm sold. How do we sign up?
Just call the number carved into your forehead.
Do you have operators standing by?
Actually, it's a really complicated and confusing automated phone system because, you know, hell. But hey, if you act now, you'll qualify to be hurled into a molten pit of decapitated heads at no extra charge.
Hear that, hon? You know how much you love hot tubs.
Well, at least we'll be out of the f***ing snow.
Yep.
Frigum All Timeshares. Yeah. They aren't all located in hell. It just seems like it.
It's our way of making sure you haven't missed anything. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Daryl Hammond is joining us on the telephone. Hey, Daryl, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, very good. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, and I have to start the interview by pointing out that the title of your book cannot be stated on the radio. Daryl is a great stand-up comedian, known for his incredible skill, especially to many on the show Saturday Night Live for many, many years. The book, though, is very serious about your life, and I hesitate to – I'm not sure how to describe it. You have gone through some very rough times and ended up okay. The title is, by the way, God, If You're Not Up There, I'm – and then we begin with –
Blanked.
Blank. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's a good way to put it. Things going well for you these days? Daryl, you feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I think the title was when I was in a Caribbean jail, and I didn't actually say that prayer. I didn't know any prayers, but the prayer I said was, God, if you're not up there and participating, I'm in so much trouble, ... I'm blank. So, just to be clear, I hope the good Lord knows I wasn't blaspheming, taking his name in vain. But it's an interesting title. The problem with it being that you couldn't really sell it in Walmart or the airport or Target, which is where you sell books.
was there a little back and forth with the editor when you said, "Well, I really want to call it this"?
There was a little bit of back and forth because I've traveled around the country a great deal, and I know that putting the word God and then putting the other expletive deletive in the same sentence is, it's dangerously close to, you know, blaspheming one of the Ten Commandments, and whether people, you know, sort of pursue that spiritual lifestyle in their everyday life is one thing, but on the other hand, just in case, we don't want to be doing that. And I mean, I was in Mobile, Alabama. I signed a whole bunch of copies. I didn't sign any copies of my book, but I signed. I did not. That's the truth. It was already a New York Times bestseller, and I didn't sign one copy of my book, but I signed many copies of 50 Shades of Grey. which also was coming out, you know, at around the same time.
Let me interrupt for 1 second. It's my understanding that you have done an audiobook version of this that you read. Is that correct?
Yeah, the book came out on Audible, Amazon Audible, a couple of weeks ago, and it's been playing pretty well. I think it was at Amazon's number one editor's pick 1 week, you know. So it's not bad, but yeah, I read the book and perform all the characters. There are probably 100 or so characters.
Yeah, that's what we were asking when we were talking about this about an hour ago, because I swim all the time, and I have an iPod waterproof, so I get lots and lots of books on tape, as they go. Audiobooks, I guess, is the new term, and I was kind of wondering, because have you ever experienced an audiobook where the author is trying to do the female characters, and they're not really good at changing their voice around? And
I have, and I confess that's not my strong suit, but I did my best. there was a prostitute in the book that I really liked my portrayal of her. I thought it was very accurate. But she was a little bit more masculine than other high-end ladies of the evening might have been.
When you sit down to do this, obviously it takes you, I assume, several days, and there's some director there, and you're reading your own book. Did you change it around at all, or did you just read it exactly verbatim?
I did it verbatim. I mean, we read some of the stories in front of a live audience, and I think there's a companion piece of the thing. Some people were calling it a stand-up album for a while, but it's not. We read some of the stories in front of a live crowd, and ended up some of them were pretty funny, so they made a separate tape. But I'd say it was about 2 weeks, maybe two, I don't know, 6 hours a day until my voice gave out, which happened, you know, around the third or fourth day.
Well, we're speaking, by the way, with Daryl Hammond, comedian and author, and your life story is got some really difficult spots, and I know that we hear all the time about various celebrities and their ups and downs, but in your case, some of this stuff is really serious.
Well, it is, and you know, I had a lifetime of sort of, you know, self mutilation, and not really being able to understand why until I, you know, inadvertently ended up in a hospital in upstate New York with a doctor who was about 50 years ahead of his time and was able to get up inside my head and figure out why I'd been behaving that way all these years. And, you know, there's a cause and there's the effect. There's always a reason when there's aberrant behavior. And I think the thing that I took away from my whole experience there was that mental illness is not an airborne virus, you know. And it's, in my case, I'd say it was probably more of a mental injury. It was a very, you know, on the one hand, you had this dad who's a war hero that has PTSD, is obsessed with Nazis in ways that were almost, you know, when you look at it in retrospect, almost comical. But on the other hand, at the end of his life, he was able to say, you know, on his deathbed, some really moving things about he was a good soldier but a bad dad, and it was a beautiful thing. And on the other hand, you have the other parent who's just a sort of hiding in the church, which is where a lot of bad guys hide, you know. And then no one to come help me. But out of all of that, which is the weird part of it, is that, you know, my mother could talk like other people, and then it turned out so could I. And one of the things we could do that, you know, a mother and child do, you know, instead of playing tiddlywinks or taking a walk in the park, we could we can talk like other people. And we used to do that with A Christmas Carol. You know, we used to do all the parts from The Christmas Carol. That was before the age of 10, wow. You know, when that was happening. So some of it sounds pretty interesting to me when I listen to it now. But, you know, after you've been talking about yourself for about 10 days straight, it gets pretty dull. But I had to circle back around a couple minutes later and look at it with fresh eyes.
Well, I'm looking forward to I've read parts of the book when it came out. And I'm looking forward to listening to it while swimming. the audio book of Daryl Hammond's book is done. Let me ask this: when you first started doing stand up, and you stopped by here many years ago in person, it was just absolutely terrific visit. And a lot of it was just pure stand up; it wasn't voices. When you work today, are you doing a lot of what we might call pure stand up, or a lot of the voices coming out? What's the typical show like?
Well, you got to do that. I mean, they're coming to see you because of work they saw you do on Saturday Night Live. And I had converted into a pure stand up before I got SNL. And SNL hired me to do impressions, to talk like other people, to replace Phil Hartman, and that became quote unquote my brand. And that's what people came to see. And so, yeah, I do lots of voices.
What was the first one that you did well, in your opinion?
At SNL or in my life?
No, in your life. I mean, other than maybe your math teacher. Was there a famous person?
I think I did Popeye pretty well, you know. I think that I spent about 2 years of my life. This is the story of a real nerd. I spent probably 2 years of my life figuring out the vowel and consonant changes when he's scat singing on his way to olive oil. I mean, my voice is a little low this morning, but it's sort of like,
that is so great.
So good.
It took me 2 years to figure that out. And then after that, I went into Porky Pig's vowel and consonant changes, you know, that sort of, Sylvester, what are you doing, you know? So that was the next, you know, now I'm up and around the age of 9. And in between, you know, there was my mother and I doing the parts from A Christmas Carol, which I do in the book. I do, I think, two parts from Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're speaking with Daryl Hammond. Daryl Hammond's book is called God, If You're Not Up There, I'm, and then something. And it's now available as an audio book. And if you're like me, I love audiobooks. I don't know if you ever do it, Daryl, but when you're driving, rather than listening to music, I just love listening to a book. And I will often
I used to drive around the country with Billy Gardell, who later was the star on the show Mike and Molly.
Sure.
We started out together, and we would drive. I mean, we drove as far as Missouri. We drove as far as New York City from Orlando, Florida, and we listened to audiobooks all the time. The classics that I had never really listen to in my life, you know. It turns out they're wonderful books, and you know. So we did a lot of that. That and Paul McCartney's Left-Handed Bass, and you know. So those two things got us through all those road trips.
Well, once again, we're speaking with Daryl Hammond about his audio book. You said that Popeye was the first one you did. When you started going on stage, what were the first sort of human being celebrities that you were able to grab their voices?
I did Popeye on stage in a shameless bit about being in bed with olive oil. I did Porky Pig in a shameless bit. I did Mr. Haney from Green Acres in a shameless bit.
That means not radio friendly, I'm assuming.
Well, it's not even that they're blue. It's that they're what you call a hack. They're hacky. They're really bad bits. But it was an excuse for me to do an impression. And when I was first starting out, I really wasn't very funny, but I was getting a lot of applause breaks, and that's the best I could do in the beginning. The first 4 or 5 years of being a stand-up are pretty rough. Yeah.
What in your contemporary work, when you're on stage, is there a particular piece that you do that is the oldest piece that you still do?
There's a piece I have about marriage that I've done forever, and it was on a I probably did it for you.
Yeah, and we played it an hour ago. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is brilliant.
We can play it again in
a few minutes. Oh, God, it's so funny.
Well, like if I do a college and an audience has never really thought about marriage, I just talk about living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and it comes out the same way because, you know, the house becomes a peculiar place when two lovebirds decide to nest there, you know?
The line about hiding behind the curtains is one of the funniest things I have ever heard. Daryl Hammond is our guest. Daryl, so are you're okay now? Because there's obviously you talk about some mental health issues. Things going really well for you since the? I mean,
I think they're going well for me, but I mean, I live a life where I, you know, I do cognitive therapy, I do yoga, I go to the gym, I do 12-step programs. I mean, I do the stuff you have to do, you know, to sort of stay on track, but my life's going well because I had Saturday Night Live money and I lucked into this one doctor who I spent most of my money on. And the rest of the money went to my daughter's college education. Yeah. So, you know.
This question may sound like it came from the perspective of an idiot.
Oh, boy.
Did you ever, in the course of your therapy with your doctor, did he or she ever ask you to do any voices?
No, but there was a period where, you know, there've been at least two doctors who were hell-bent on proving that anyone that could do what I did for a living was actually a multiple personality. So they experimented with that, but no one actually asked me to perform, although there have been lots of other really sort of seedy interactions with people who were like, well, you wouldn't mind doing Bill Clinton, though, would you?
While you're getting a prostate exam.
I mean, during the prostate exam, I mean, let's get real. I mean, yeah, that was very uncomfortable. The woman said to me, what would Clinton say?
Oh, my God. See, now I feel psyched.
There's today's edition of the Bob and Tom Extra for you. Make sure you catch us every weekday afternoon at 3. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For the Bob and Tom Show, this is Christopher speaking. Have a great one.